Welcome to the Forward Church Podcast. We're so glad you joined us today. Be sure to subscribe to our podcast to stay up to date with our latest episodes. Now let's get ready to dive into today's message. We know you'll be blessed.
Amen. How many is glad to be in God's house this morning? I promise I'll try to keep it short. How many teenagers I got in here? Raise your hand. I need all my teenagers. Look around you. Yeah, that's great. All right. Raise your hand if you're going to help us in VBS this year. Good. Yeah. I see some of y'all skimping. It's all right. We'll work on you. No, the Holy Spirit worked on me there for a minute. Looking at VBS, and I know we take VBS and we think, well, it's just children, it's just kids, it's just this fun little thing. That's ministry. You are reaching out to a broken, a lost, a hurt community. And they need Jesus more than anything in this world. We feed them so much filth, so much junk, so much electronics, so many iPads, so many cell phones, and that's what's raising our babies, and everything's popping up on these screens, and our babies are being introduced to things they don't need to be introduced to. It's true. You don't have to say, man, I know it's true. It's true because some of us adults suffer with it anyway as well, right? Yeah. Because if we check screen time right now and Bible time, anyways, I get a little rough. I apologize for that. I hadn't started reading yet. I figured I'd go ahead and try to get it out of the way before I started reading. But I say that to say this. If you're new here, it's your first time here. My name is Rod Stokes. My wife and I are the youth pastors here at Forward Church. And I know some people look at us and think, y'all are crazy. Who wants to deal with youth? But it's our heart. It's my passion. It's what God's called me to. I know so many people ask me all the time, I wish you'd sing. I wish you'd sing more. That's a talent God gave me. That's not my calling. I just wanted to get that out of the way. That's just a talent. That's not what God's called me to do. And I would rather walk in my calling than my talent any day, because my talent has left me broken and alone. My talent has left me wondering, wanting more and more and more. But when I walked in his calling, he's gave me peace of mind. He's given me peace of heart. Fame and fortune passes away, and this is nothing what I'm even going to talk about this morning. But all that passes away. The earth, the Bible says, will pass away, and the fullness of thereof. He said, but my word will stand. He said, my word will stand forever. And I say that just to say this. Volunteer for VBS. Love these kids. Can I share this with you? And this is by no means me embarrassing anyone in here. I would never do that except for the teenagers. They know that. They cannot embarrass me. I will wear them out. Ain't that right? Champion. Okay, never mind. They're stubborn. They're as bad as I am. They're worse than me. But we deal with teenagers. And a large percent of our teenagers come from broken homes, broken families. And you know what they need? They need the love of a church. They need the love of Christ to be wrapped around them by each and every one of us. If you're washed in the blood of Jesus, God's called you according to his purpose to do the work of the Father and the kingdom. But volunteer, help as a community, as a church, to reach out to this community. We are a community. We're the body. We're the body of Christ. This is just a building we gather together on Sundays and Wednesdays in worship. This is just a building. This is just metal and sheetrock and carpet and concrete. I know I just built the house. Something's wrong with me. But this is just where we gather. We're the church. We're the church. But you can stay seated too. You don't have to stand up. I wrestled with what to speak on. And just the other night, a couple nights ago, in the middle of kind of prepping for a wedding, I officiated my first wedding this weekend. And it just about stressed me out. I'm not a still person. To sit there and just stand still like this for a certain period of time, it just drives me crazy. But as I was working on something, the Holy Spirit put in my heart, he put in my spirit, he said, 2 Chronicles 7:14. 2 Chronicles 7:14 reads, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, he said, then I will hear from heaven. He said, and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. God gave Solomon here a recipe. He gave Solomon a recipe to heal a broken nation. And that recipe contained 4 ingredients. He said, if you'll humble yourself, if you'll pray, he said, then I need you to seek my face. He said, and then there's one more ingredient. I need you to turn from your wicked ways. Isn't that crazy? We think just going to church on a Sunday morning, we got it made. That's it. We're healed. We're good to go. That's not how it works. I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but I like to just keep it straight. Gum barrel straight is what they call it. That's the way I like to keep it. But God desires us to take those ingredients and put them together because it will heal our nation. It will heal our church. It'll heal our community. It'll heal our household. It will put everything back together. What the enemy meant to destroy and break apart, God said, if you'll put it in my hands, he said, I'll take it and put everything back together. But we must give him the opportunity. We have to surrender ourselves. Number one, we humble ourselves. We see throughout the entirety of the Bible, men that failed to humble themselves and how they fell flat of their faces for doing so. I've done it so many times in my life. So many times we seen King Nebuchadnezzar and how God tried to give him dreams and to heal his land, yet he chose to live and walk in pride. God did everything he could. He said, this is what I need. But he took it as a prideful thing and it became more about him than anything. But you know what God said? He said, if you as king, you will not surrender to me. He said, I'm gonna raise up 4 boys. I'm gonna raise up Hananiah, Azariah, and Mishael, and a guy named Daniel. And we're gonna set this place free. That's what God does. But that's humbling ourselves. When we surrender and submit everything to him, he's able to work. And when God does the work, it's done. It's complete. There's a stamp on it. We see King Saul and how God used him. And the more prosperous he became, the more he relied on self rather than on God. We've seen King Saul that's once anointed by God to serve as king of Israel. God used him, but then it became more about Saul than it did about God. Pride crept in. And we've heard it so many times, if you break down the word pride and spell it out, it's P-R-I-D-E. Middle letter of pride, I, me, myself. But Saul sought after what he desired. When the Holy Spirit came down and God spoke to Samuel and said, go down there and tell Saul he needs to destroy a country, wipe it out clean. He saw it fit, Saul did, just to save a little bit, keep a little bit. That young man looks healthy. He looks like a good worker. I'm gonna use him. And here's what's crazy. I mentioned this in my last message. The very things that the Holy Spirit, that God spoke to Saul about and said, get rid of, get it out, wipe it away. You know what killed him? The very thing he said to get rid of. An Amalekite guy with an arrow. And it hurt him so bad, Saul had to fall on his sword in the middle of death. Proverbs 16:18-19 said, pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Better is it to be of a humble spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoils with the proud. James 4:6 says, but he gives more grace. Gives more grace, therefore he said, God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. God resists that prideful spirit, but yet he gives so much grace to the one who surrenders themselves to him. You know, it's crazy. It's crazy that we're the very thing God wants to annihilate from our life, completely take away, to do away with pride self. We now have a month in America that we're living in right now called Pride Month. The most ungodly, debauched thing we could take before God is, it's about me. And look at what it's done. It's become a month for everyone to bow to. It's become a month for everyone to tolerate. But you know what compromise does? You know what tolerance does? It leads to acceptance. And do you know what acceptance does of a filthy, perverse lifestyle? It separates us from the love of God. And I never want to be separated from God's love. Our teenagers, they saw something on TikTok, and they heard the scripture where God says, "Depart from me, you worker of iniquity, for I never knew you." He said, "You cast out devils in my name. You healed the sick in my name." He said, "But depart from me, I never knew you." A prideful spirit will put you in that situation. James 4 and 10 says, "Humble yourselves in the sight of God, and he shall lift you up." We need an awakening. We need dead bones to come alive. We need to suit up and put on the entire armor of God to be prepared for what the enemy has. We must relinquish pride. We must push ourselves out of the way. We must take our desires and lay them at the feet of Jesus and say, "Not my will, God, but yours be done." Why is humility so important? Humility, it renders you of self, and no one gave us a better example of that than Jesus. No one. I'm reminded of humbling yourselves. And I got to thinking, I'm the Asbury Revival. And I told the kids about this a couple weeks ago. Do you know the full story behind the Asbury Revival in Kentucky? There was a young man that stood up. They do chapel. I don't know if it's daily or weekly. I believe it's daily. They do chapel at that college, like daily or weekly. And this young man stood up and said, "You know what? I got to confess something." In front of his peers, a college kid, 70% of kids that leave high school and go to a secular university leave the faith and never come back. Facts. James Barna. Go look at James Barna, the Barna Group. You can find out a lot of statistics that'll shake you to your soul. But he stood before his peers, and you know what he said? He said, "I'm tired of it. I'm tired of being a hypocrite." He said, "I'm tired of getting drunk on Fridays and trying to come in here and act like a Christian on Sundays." He said, "I'm tired of sleeping with my girlfriend and trying to worship God at the same time." That's what this young man said. He said, "I'm tired of the filth and perversion that I'm looking at and still trying to serve God." You cannot serve two masters. You cannot do it. It's either God or it's either mammon. It's either the spirit or the flesh. It's one or the two. It cannot be both. The spirit and the flesh cannot dwell in the same area. Either you're edifying the spirit man or you're edifying yourself. John 13. Here's what I love, and I'm watching my time. I'm sorry. This is just humility and humbling yourself. John 13. This still blows me away. I'll never forget, my cousin preached on this. He pastors at my old church. And I'll never forget when he talked about this when I was a teenager, and it never crossed my mind. But the ultimate act of humility was displayed by our Savior. And here's what blows me away. I see so much discord. I've been raised in church my whole life. My mama and my daddy's here this morning, and I'm thankful for that. They brought me up in church. I've never heard my daddy say one cuss word. That's how I was raised. I've never seen alcohol in my house. I've never seen a filthy magazine in my house. There was never filth on my television, anything like that. That's the way I was brought up. But you know, that absolutely means nothing if you haven't humbled yourself and laid yourself at the feet of Jesus. Here's what blows my mind every time with John chapter 13. This gets me. The Savior of the world, the one God sent through a virgin birth, the Savior of the universe that came to set and make us free so that we could have life and have it more abundantly. Here's what happened. The Bible says, knowing that his disciples, knowing that Judas was going to kiss his cheek and betray him for 30 pieces of silver, 30 pieces of silver, he said, I'm giving you away. Knowing that Peter was going to deny him three times before the rooster would even crow. You know what Jesus does? The Bible says he takes his garment off and he girds his loins. He ties it around his waist. And the Savior of the universe bows down at the feet of people that's going to betray him. The Savior of the universe lays down at someone that's going to sell him out for 30 pieces of silver, and he begins to wash the feet. Who are we? We feel like so many people owe us stuff. Nobody owes us anything. We owe nothing. God said if somebody comes and takes something from you, he said, won't you give them your cloak too? That's what Jesus does. We saw what the Old Testament does by living in pride. The Old Testament shows us when we do things out of the desires of our flesh, where it gets us. It gets us broken. It leaves us lost. It leaves us undone. But what happens when we surrender to Christ? He makes all things new. He puts relationships back together. He mends the broken heart. He puts families back together. Heals relationships. He takes that nasty, evil, prideful spirit that you have. Some people say, well, it's not my fault. That statement alone makes it your fault. That statement alone makes it your fault. Who are you? That's what the Spirit said to me. Who are you? Rod Stokes is absolutely nothing without Jesus Christ. I'm absolutely nothing without him in my life. But it's when we surrender ourselves fully and give to him and lay ourselves at the feet of Jesus, he transforms everything. Philippians 2, 5 through 11 says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal to God, but made himself of no reputation. The Savior of the world made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in the appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every single name. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of those in heaven and of earth, and those under the earth. And that every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. God's asked us to humble ourselves. God's asked us to fully surrender our life to him. Push ourselves out of the way, and maybe this is where the Holy Spirit wants it. Maybe there's some people here this morning that say, Rod, I need to humble myself. Maybe there's some people here this morning that said, I must get pride out of the way. Rod, I need to push self to the side. When we allow the Holy Spirit to work in our lives, there's no limit, there's no boundary to what he can do. I've been asked quite a few times by people, and I say this, I really do, I say this as humbly as I can. What are you doing with the kids? How are you growing so much? Because for some reason, youth ministry and any ministry has just become about numbers. And the first thing I tell them, I said, I don't wear the cool kicks. I got them. I'm more of a boot man. I don't wear the skinny jeans. Some just kind of fit tight every once in a while because I got big thighs. I don't try to be cute. I don't try to be something that I'm not. But we've introduced these kids to the Holy Spirit. We've let these kids know that if you humble yourself and you pray and you seek His face and you turn from your wickedness, you say, Rod, but I'm not wicked. I beg to differ, sir and ma'am. If we hadn't been washed in the blood of Jesus, we're full of wickedness. We're full of dead man's bones. He said in Genesis chapter 6, verse 5, He said, I searched the earth, I combed the earth, and I saw that every male, every female heart was desperately wicked continually. But He said, I'm going to send my son Jesus. He said, I'm going to send one that's going to come down and rescue you from a fiery pit. He said, I'm going to send one down that's going to rescue you from eternal damnation. This thing's real. This isn't a joke. This isn't a game. I don't stand up here as a 6'5" man and cry in front of you because it's fun. I do it because my heart is burdened for a society that's lost, for a group of kids that's broken and undone that need a Savior. He's real. And He's here this morning. Stand at your feet if you don't mind. You know, I gotta be honest, I wrestle so much. Because I hear so many people preach so many things. And the majority of my kids have experienced so much brokenness already. And I didn't have to experience the brokenness they experienced. And I look in the mirror all the time and say, God, I don't even deserve to do this. You may do the same thing, but He said, if you'll just humble yourself, if you'll surrender your life and lay your life at the altar at the feet of Jesus, and you ask Him to take and remove that flesh, if you ask Him to take that heart of stone and remove it, and transform your life, He'll do it this morning. You may be here this morning, and I'm gonna do this quick. You may be in need of a Savior this morning and never experienced. We've already had a young man saved this morning. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah. The Bible said the angels in heaven rejoice over one soul that's saved. Luke chapter 15 said He went after a lost coin. He said he went and looked and He found the prodigal son. And the father said, come on home, buddy. I got everything back for you. But he said he'd leave 99 just to find one. Just to find one. God's looking at where you're at right now. And He's saying, I'll leave the throne room of heaven and I'll rescue you from that ledge that you're standing on this morning. But He said, if my people would humble themselves and pray, seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, He said, then I'll hear from heaven, then I'll forgive their sins, then I'll heal their land. You know what happens when you leave an ingredient out of a recipe? It tastes nasty. It's terrible. It's God awful. But God's here for you this morning. You say, Rod, I need a Savior. I want to give my life to Jesus. I want to humble myself and lay it at the feet of Christ. You say, Rod, I need a renewal in my life. I've been away from God. I pushed him to the side. I hadn't read my Bible in months. I haven't prayed in months, but I'm always looking, asking God, why? Why are you doing this to me, God, when we have no fellowship or no connection? You stopped talking to your wife for about 12 hours. You stopped talking to your wife when you get home from work. Let me tell you what I've learned. I've got to play in the dirt my whole life. My daddy's been in business for 37 years. All I've ever known was track hose, dozers, dump trucks, skid loaders, bulkheads, land clearing, running a chainsaw, sharpening a chainsaw. Whatever you want to do with it, I can do it. It's all I've ever known. And when I come home, if I look at her and she says, how was your day? You know what my answer used to be? It was good. We worked hard. Not anymore. There's conversation. I drove 55 down Highway 90 and I passed a red light. I took a left on Hanshaw Road and I went down there in Ocean Springs and made it to, there was three trees over there. We have conversation. And how much more does your heavenly Father want to have conversation with you? He loves you so much that he died on a cross for you. He loves you so much that he gave everything for you. He desires fellowship with you. You say, Rod, I need that fellowship in my life. I need a Savior in my life. As they sing this morning, I challenge you. I dare you to make your way up as the prayer team comes up. Your life can be changed this morning, but it's up to you. He's already done the work, but it's up to you. Will you humble yourself? Will you pray? Will you seek his face? And will you turn from your wicked ways?
We hope you've been blessed by today's message. Make sure to subscribe to stay up to date with our most recent episodes. To find out more, visit us at forwardchurchonline.com. There you can connect with us, learn more about our ministries, and submit any prayer requests you may have. We hope you join us again soon.